Perek Aleph Pasuk Hey, on page 542, Nachum is describing the Churban that's going to come al derech pshat to the nation of Ashur in punishment for what they have done to Klal Yisrael. That's the pshat, and of course the Jewish is referring to things that are going to happen later on in history. Harim ro'ashu mimenu, mountains trembled. Ra'ash ro'ashu means to shake, right? To rustle in the wind. Here we have an entire mountain, and a mountain is rustling. Mimenu from Hashem. Mimenu means from you. Who's you? You over here means Hashem. V'ha'gva'os his mo'igagu, and the hills melted. Vatisa, this sounds like you know, nuclear war, right? If stone is melting, does not sound very, very good. Batisa aretz mipanav, and the earth is lifted up from the presence of Hashem, v'seidel, and the earth v'chol yoshveva, pasuk vav, lifnei zamoi, miyamoid, who can stand before the zam of Hashem, u'miyakum b'charoin apoy, it says like, miyale b'har Hashem miyakum b'mkoyim kacho, so it almost sounds like a play on that pasuk. Lefnei zama miyamoid umiyakum b'acharoi napu, can stand in the place of his anger. Chamosoi niticha ko'esh, his anger is poured out, like, you know, you pour out a cup like fire. V'hatsurim nititsu mimenu, mountain rocks are shattered mimenu from before you. The word mimenu here, if you notice, appears a few times. The word menu begins harim rashu mimenu. Well, it only appears twice. Take it only twice here in these two psukim. All right, let's do these two psukim together. Pasuk Hey, in the mitzudos David, Harim Rashu mipachdoi yirashu harim, due to the pachad of Hashem, do the mountains shake, v'yimasu hagvois, and the hills they melt. Gamhu mashal al hamalachim hasarim hagvakolav l'shonais. This is a metaphor for the kings. All the various kings of the world at this point in time, they're going to be terrified before Hashem. Vatisa haaretz mipanav haaretz haaretz tisarek mibnei esh chamasoi v'chu mashal al goydel haro'oda v'akil yoin. The earth will burn. It says the word vatisa, and for whatever reason, the Mitzudois translates the words vatisa inyan sereifa. That's not the usual translation of the word vatisa. Tisa means it's uplifted, to lift up. Here he translates it unusually to mean that it's going to burn. And it's a mashal to the intensity of the churban. Next, v'seivel, the earth, hu achelek min ha'aretz ha'miyusheves mibnei adam, the table is the part of earth that is occupied by man. Tevel, miyamoy, miyuchal l'skayim lifnei zamoy, who can stand before Hashem zam, it sounds like a volcano, there's lava which pours out upon the earth. V'yatsurim hasilaim is the rocks, nititsu v'nichtisu mimenu, ritzoyne loymar ba'alei ha'koyach yecholeishu v'yovdu, all those that are very strong and powerful, they're going to become weakened at this time in history. Okay, so two psukim describing over here a very intense event that will take place on this earth. Again, according to the pshat, this was said by Nachum in reference to the kingdom of Ashur in the aftermath, as punishment will happen to them for the churban of the Aseres HaShvatim. And it took place not all that long later, whatever it was, but 100 years later, maybe a little bit longer, when Nebuchadnezzar became the world power, Nebuchadnezzar obliterated the kingdom of Ashur, and these two psukim would be fulfilled at that point in time. The description is extremely, extremely severe. It describes things which would appear to be lamala miderech hateva, but we take it literally, or we take it as the Mitzudas tries more to do as a metaphor, that all of the powers of the world, these people, especially the mouths of Asher, will be humbled and be obliterated and be destroyed. If you were to look at this from the perspective of the 21st century, it sounds like a nuclear war. It sounds like We all know that the words of Nevuah are not just for the time when they were said to the people living in that generation, but also were foretelling things that will happen in the future. That's why they are recorded for posterity. And if you read these words, it appears over here to be describing some type of nuclear war. Mountains are going to shake. Hills are going to melt. The earth is going to burn. And all of humanity will also be incinerated before the Zam, who can stand. His anger will be poured upon the earth like fire, and rocks will be shattered into smithereens. Okay, this sounds something like you watching a science fiction movie of the apocalypse, the world coming to an end, some type of event. Is that what he's referring to? Who knows? Who knows what this really means? Let's see Rashi. Rashi, these two together, Pasuk Hey and Pasuk Vav. Hadim Rashu on page 542. 542, the mountains, Ra'ashu Mimenu, the mountains will shake before Hashem. Rashi says this is a metaphor. The mountains refers to the kings of the world. Hamalachim v'hasarim, Yifchadu Migzeirasoi, world leaders, heads of state, will be terrified before the Gzeir of Hashem. Vatisaretz Mas'as Oshon, burning. Same idea. He Masas means the raising up of smoke. Rashi is a little bit more clear than the Mitsudas. The Mitsudas just said the word Masas refers to fire. The question is, why does it refer to fire? The word Masas literally means to raise up, to ascend. So here he explains the word Masas, what is ascending? Smoke. Where there's smoke, there is fire. And over here, he refers to a fire. Pasuk Vav Nitecha, to pour. Higia la'aretz, the fire will be poured to the earth. Kemo u'matar lo nitach artsa, we find the word used by the Makos. Matar will not come down to the earth. That was by Borod. Borod was accompanied by rain. Very unusual thing in Egypt. It never, ever, ever rains. There's no such thing as rain in Egypt. And when Hashem brought the Mark of Borod upon the Egyptians, it was accompanied, the hailstones were accompanied by rain. We discussed this so many times that Paro, the Egyptians, were fascinated. They heard a legend that in parts of the world, you don't have to be a slave. You don't have to irrigate your fields, go down and make canals, dig these complex irrigation canals, and worship the gods so the Nile should rise and flood, and the overflow should go into the canals and neatly irrigate the fields. They heard of a legend that there's a land in the world where you do nothing. You go to sleep. You wake up in the morning, you take care of your needs, and Hashem sends clouds and it rains. Water comes from heaven and waters the field. You don't have to break your back to take buckets of water from the water the fields. We don't have to hope that the Nile should flood and should irrigate the fields and spend all of your days digging irrigation canals. Rain. So when the Borod came, it came together with rain. And if you look very carefully in the Pasuk, when Paro begged Moshe that the hailstones should stop coming, he only asked the hail should stop. He said, but let the rain continue. Let the rain continue. We like this rain. And that was not to be the case. And that's why when Parshas Ekev, when Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael that we're now going to come to Eretz Yisrael, he emphasizes, Eretz Yisrael is not like what you used to. It's not a place where you irrigate the field, but rather Hashem waters the earth with rain. The only difference is, you have to daven to Hashem that it should rain. That's the difference. You need to come on to Hashem that there should not be a drought at Siras Geshamim. Okay, so the word over here, the point we're making is nitach over here means to pour, and here there's some type of churban. The churban over here is the churban of Hashem is going to pour out his anger. Hashem will pour out upon the earth, a fire. Okay, it sounds like, you know, what do you see pouring? When a volcano explodes, the lava, as it spreads upon the earth, you would use a metaphor that it is pouring. It's pouring upon, it's being poured upon the earth. Let's now take a look here at the Radak. Radak, these two psukim. Harim afilu heharim Hashem ha'amudim Hashem yisod ha'afar Rashu mimenu kishayirtse v'yirashu v'yiplu v'zeo kishayirash aritz ha'kol b'ritzonai. According to Radak, Radak is learning not like Rashi and the Mitzudais. He makes no mention that the word mountains are a metaphor for kings, but he says the word mountains literally mean the earth. Next, hismoigogu melt no masu. This week's parsha. In this week's parsha, the man, if you took too much man, or in the afternoon, the leftover man melted and it formed into a stream, and the animals ate from the man. Next, avatisa aretz, kmo vatisoref, it means to burn. Kmo vayisoem David, vanashav David burned, David and his men, they burned the fields. Ela shezeh poal oimed, this is a noun. Well, I should say that. Poel it means a verb, an inactive verb. There's an active verb and an inactive verb. The inyan churban ha'aretz, the earth is destroyed. Kamo sh'amar gofris v'melach srefa chol arza kilu hisrufa shlo yalabo kol esev oishtia mamish kistoim v'amora. That what's going to happen too, the nation of Ashur, they're going to be no different than Sodom and Amora, because the word Serufa is found by Sodom. And here the word Vatisa, we're borrowing it to mean to be burnt. They're going to be burnt as well. Yonasan Tirgim Vacha Roivas Ara Min Kodo Mohi, and the destruction of the earth Min Kodo Mohi, from before Hashem. Hashem will destroy this. I think it means that Hashem will bring about a destruction to the earth. Pasuk Vav Lefnei Zamoik Mivorhu Kasher Lefanav. It's self understood. Chamosai Nitecha Koesh Vaesh Eina Niteches. Question: does it make sense? What in the world? Because the pasuk Mel Pib Shat that Hashem is going to pour fire upon the earth. Fire is not something that you can pour. It's not. That's not the way we define fire. Avol Hi Mateches. It is aval hini mateches. Fire is something which is
mateches is metal.
Okay, I'm not sure what he means by that, but mateches here means it's something which floats, which goes up. You don't pour fire. Ella, what then does it mean? Perushoi, the translation is chamosai niteches al oivav. It's a metaphor. Hashem's anger will be poured upon his enemies. V'davar hanitoch mibnei ho'esh. Something which uchidavar hanitoch mipnei ho'ish. So what he's saying over here is that it's not the fire will be poured; it's the object that melts from fire that is poured. In other words, you have fire. Fire liquefies solids, and then the liquid is poured. So the enemies will melt into a liquid; they'll be liquefied. And the liquid will then be poured down the hill away from Hashem. That is how we learn Pshat in the Pasuk. Hashem will send forth his anger, and it goes back to the previous Pesukim. The enemies will melt, they will turn from solid into liquid, and the liquid will be poured down the mountain. Okay, let's go over here with the Pasuk. For Eishin, the Enitach, the Avul, at the time, now, according to the Targum, this pasuk is taking us back to the time of Matan Torah. At Matan Torah, Hashem offered the Torah to all of the nations of the world, and they rejected it. And then Hashem offered it to Klal Yisrael, and they said Nasa Venishma, and Hashem revealed himself. And at the time of Revelation, all of our enemies melted. Kadwen, Iskili, Berach Musay, when Hashem revealed himself with compassion, Limitan Oiraisa, to give the Torah, La'ame, to his nation, Cain, then, Za alma min kadamahi. The earth shook. The earth quaked before Hashem. Bechein, likewise, kadwen, iskili, virgas, when Hashem will reveal himself with anger, leispira'a, to punish me, son Eame, from the enemies of the Jewish people, kadam pur anuse, before they get what they deserve, man yikum, who will be able to, before they are obliterated, while they're still alive, and Hashem is on his way to destroy them, to punish them, is there any creature that will be able to stand up before Hashem and hold Hashem back, prevent what's coming to them? Man yikum, who can stand? Uman yisoyvar, who can bear? Be'av oshus rugse, the power of his anger. Av oshus means the intensity. Okay, we'll leave it over here. It's sort of b'charoi napoi. The av oshus, the fire of his anger. Rugze, his anger, ke'eshoso, it's like fire. Mamse, which melts. V'tinoraya, I don't know what that word means. Isparaku min kodomohi. V'tinoraya, they hide, maybe means to hide. And isparaku, they flee min kodomohi. They are of tamun. They hide and they flee before Hashem. Okay, so he's saying over here, he's saying the Targum Yonis Ben Uzil, he adds here into this pasuk over here, he adds here into this pasuk a comparison to Matan Torah. And that is very interesting. No one asked him to do that. And we're going to have to search in the pasuk to find the reason why the Targum added mention of Matan Torah. But he's coming to tell us that what's going to happen. Okay, what's going to happen at the time when Hashem will punish his enemies is going to be equivalent to what happened at the time of Matan Torah. At the time of Matan Torah, when Hashem revealed himself to Klal Yisrael by Har Sinai, all of the nations of the world were terrified. They realized their mistake. They realized they made a mistake by rejecting Hashem's Torah. They recognized the greatness of Klal Yisrael. They were afraid and they melted away. That scene will happen again, will replicate itself at the time of at a later point in time. Either it already happened or it'll happen again. And when Hashem will come to punish the enemies of Klal Yisrael, and the same thing will happen. They'll be terrified, they will melt, and they will run away from Hashem.
What is the Ayvav? It said before in the Radak, Ayvav. Is that the Ayvav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What makes someone an
Oyev? Enemy.
Yeah, what makes someone an enemy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Everyone is a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the nations are a creation. And I can't, you know, so aren't Bnei Yisrael, when they do wrong, they're considered Hashem. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, the term Ayvav, in connection with
HaKadosh Baruch. No, so you have to understand, Klal Yisrael, when they do Averos, they don't really do Averos, they don't do Olahachas. The fact that they were Mekabel the Torah, Nasa V'Nishma, deep down, the Pintel Yid, every person deep down inside loves Hashem. Why then does a person, a Jew, do things that appear to be an act of rebellion? We all know, Ein Adam Choyte Ela Imke Nichnas Vay Ruach Shtos. A person does not do an Aver unless he becomes foolish. He becomes foolish. However, when it comes to the Goyim were never Makabo B'Torah. And the Goyim, it is an accepted fact that they reject Hashem. There is some, even though they are Hashem's creation, and it's hard to fathom why it should be like that. But that is what we understand is that there are goyim that do not want to accept Hashem's sovereignty. Amalek refused. They're the extreme version. Okay, Amalek is the extreme. but there are different levels, different nations, which each the whole spectrum of people that are considered to be Hashem's enemies. And an enemy of the Jew is an enemy of God, because the Jews are the Am HaNivchar. The Jews are the chosen people. They were given the Torah. They represent Hashem, and abusing a Jew is equivalent to abusing God. Yes, so they are considered to be Hashem's enemies. A Jew, we don't say that. A Jew who misbehaves and does crazy things, we say he's acting like a child, foolishly. Ein adam chayte ela imke nichnas by ruach shtus. Send him off to the psychiatrist for some medicine to straighten out the chemical balance has to be restored in his brain till he should come to his senses, and then the intensity of his holy neshama will bring him to his senses to do tshuva before Hashem. I know what I'm saying is hard to swallow, because there have been many Jews in history that have not exactly been very good to us, good to Hashem. It's true. It's hard to understand. But more or less, generally, this is the emuna, is that Klal Yisrael, the Am HaNivchar, Hashem gave us the Torah. The neshamos of Klal Yisrael are different. There's a sensitivity to Hashem, even in the worst times when a person is not behaving correctly, but a non-Jew does not have the sensitivity. Hashem gave them the ability. Hashem gave them free will to rebel, to reject, and to declare war on God. Amalek declared war on God. Haman, Ahasuerus, Nebuchadnezzar, Sancheirif, Hitler, Yimach Shemo, Chmelnitsky, Yimach Shemo, V'zichro. I'm not a bucky in history. You can probably, someone who knows this stuff can probably rattle off for you a thousand names of all the Rishoyim of history. And yeah, I know it's hard to swallow. This is what it means, Zemuna. At the end of the day, it always comes back to Tzadik be'emunoso yichya. All comes back to Emuna. We have faith that our parents did not lie to us. And we have faith that our grandparents did not lie to our parents. And we have faith that our great-grandparents, they did not lie to our great-grandparents. That's what it all comes down to. Nothing more than that. And that tells us, taking that principle, there were 600,000 men, 3 million people who witnessed firsthand Hashem come down Har Sinai and give us the Torah and transmit everything that we believe today. Okay, you have to accept that. Otherwise, that's really the red line. That's the red line. And people that don't want to accept that, they've crossed the red line, and there's nothing we can do. And what are you going to do to a person who doesn't want to believe? You can't do anything. Yeah.
I believe by Amalek it says, they know Hashem, and they rebel against Him.
Exactly.
They know Hashem.
No, exactly. Right, exactly.
They know Hashem.
That's part of the wickedness. That's part of, that intensifies the vicious. Right, that's the intensity.
Not the Rabbi, they know Hashem.
Exactly, that makes it even worse. Let's go further. Last four lines on the Radak, on the page 543. Nitcha ko'esh beloy chesroin. Now, nitcha ko'esh, without any chesroin. What does that mean? What does it mean without anything lacking? I'm not sure what he means with that. Is that a grammatical statement, or is that a perish? I don't know what that means. Ruotzeloymar. Eish HaBarakim, lightning, the fire of lightning. Everyone over here obviously is struggling with this oxymoron. Eish and Nitcha do not mix. Fire is not something that you pour. So far we had Rashi, who was it Rashi was the one who told us Higiel Aretz? No, it was the Mitzudais. Who do we have it? I fairly forgot. We only learned a few things over here. Nitcha nishpeches lechalas abed. I think it was before. I think it was Radak himself said. Is that what does it mean? What does it mean to pour? It means they will melt, and when they melt, then they will turn to a liquid, and the liquid you can pour down the sink. So he says over here a little different. But Ratzlema eish habadokim means lightning. Shini teches, it's poured down. V'rotza milamala lamata kirega. Very fact. V'chein amar kabirokim yiroitzetsu, like lightning do they run. V'omar b'derech moshal chamas hakel haniteches al oivav, that is poured down on his enemies. V'yishlach yitzim, Hashem sends forth his arrows. V'yifitzim, and he disperses them. Borak, Hashem sends lightning. V'yohoim, and causes confusion. So in this interpretation, he's saying is that lightning is called pouring. Why? Because when a bolt of lightning comes down from heaven, it goes from lamala lamata. And what is lightning? Lightning is pure fire. When you say to a person to pour, what do you think? You think that is something that's high up, and you tilt it, and then whatever is inside that utensil, it goes to gravity down onto the ground. That's in our mind what we associate the word pouring, niteches.
A liquid.
A liquid, you come onto gravity, and you have an item that is stored in a utensil, and you pour it. It's no longer being supported by the walls of the utensil, and gravity allows it to go from above to below. We take this principle, and we apply it to fire. Fire does not go down. Fire goes up. Fire is not tangible. It's not something which has mamoshes that you can pour. So this expression doesn't make any sense. So until now, in the first shot we learned, he explained this to mean, nitechas means, that's right. Hashem is not sending fire, pouring fire. What Hashem is doing is, he lights a fire. And whatever is in the vicinity of the fire turns into a liquid. It liquefies. And then after it liquefies, you then take the liquid and you pour the liquid on the ground. So our enemies are mole gaiva, the strong, powerful men, Giborim, Hashem scares them, they turn into jelly. They turn into jelly and they run away. So Hashem, they melt. And when they melt, then they flow, like they're poured out on the ground like liquid. So when it says here, Nitecha Ko'esh, it doesn't mean that the fire is poured. In fact, the word is very Nitecha Ko'esh. Choesh, like fire. So the way we translate until now is, they're going to be poured out like something that melted before fire. You have to inject into the word choesh, the word melted. They will be poured out as a liquid, like something which melted before the intensity of fire. Now the Radak is giving us another pshat. And he's saying, no, niticha choesh, even though there's a chaf hadimyo, it doesn't say ke'esh, it says cho'esh. Hashem's bolt of lightning is indeed poured. The word nitecha is modifying cho'esh. Lightning is fire. And when lightning goes from a heaven to earth, in essence, that is a pouring. It's going milamala, from above to below. Isn't that what you do when you pour something? You go from above to below? That is what he says over here. Then he gives another pshat.
It's metal.
Yeah.
It melts it. It looks at the water.
That's the first pshat. If it's something which is melted.
Even the lightning.
Yes.
Turns metal into liquid.
That's when it gets down to the ground.
That's when it turns.
That's the first pshat. The first pshat is this fire. The fire melts something. When something now is melted, you can then pour it. You can then apply the word nitecha. But you cannot apply the word nitecha to fire. Fire is not subject to being poured. So we have to say the pshat is, there is fire. Fire melts a solid into a liquid. And then the liquid is poured. The Radak now has a new interpretation. No, the fire is poured. How do you pour fire? It's not a literal pouring of the fire. It's lightning. We're not discussing your ordinary fire. We're discussing Benjamin Franklin. Lightning. Lightning.
Lightning is electricity. So we consider electricity now as fire.
Well, the Beis Yitzchak, my great-great-great-grandfather, when electricity came out, was invented, when it became public, it was no more than discovered. Just because it was discovered doesn't mean anyone used it, don't know what to do with it. But when it was put into use, and they wired the streets, with electric lamps instead of having candles. Someone go out every night light the candles. So then in the world in the firm world, the question was, are you allowed to turn on the lights on Shabbos? So this is about, I don't know, 150 years ago when it first became what? I don't know when it was, when it first became it became available to the common man. So the question, are you allowed to turn on light and the lights on Shabbos? So he said, he paskin, it's osur, it has a din of esh, fire. Fire. That turning on a circuit is a melacha de'oraisa of esh. That psak halacha was not accepted at all. Today, it's not accepted at all. There's almost no one today that views electricity to be esh. You can use electricity to create fire, but turning on a switch, a motor, if you have an electric motor and you allow current to flow in a wire, which creates a force which causes something to spin, is that turning on the switch and allowing the electric current to move through the wire and then reach a motor and have a coil of electricity go in a circle to cause something to move, is that a melocha de'oraisa of burning fire on Shabbos? If I have a fire going and I take a match, I take a piece of wood and I put it to the fire and I ignite another piece of wood, a pre-existing fire, and I just put a piece of wood to that fire and I ignite it, that's a melocha de'oraisa of esh. I've expanded the scope of the fire. The fire was here. It's also melacha to light a match. The melacha deraisa to create fire. That's one melacha. But let's say you have a pre-existing fire. Good morning. You have a pre-existing fire, and you take a piece of wood, and you that's also a melacha deraisa fire. So he said, 150 years ago, if you have a wire and you have a switch on the wall, and you turn up the switch, and that allows the current to move through the wire and to go into the motor and turn, it's a melacha de'oraisa of esh. As far as I know, today, in the modern world, no one accepts that to be lahalacha, correct. Electricity, we do not view electricity to be esh. Now, turning on a light bulb, an incandescent light bulb, can indeed be a melacha de'oraisa, not because of the electricity, but because through the electricity you cause a filament inside of a glass bulb to become red hot, which is another form of esh. So it's not the electricity that is esh, it is the destination. By allowing the current to flow and intensifying against a dead end, what's the dead end? A filament that has nowhere to go. And when there's nowhere to go, basically it burns up. And that heat is so intense, it causes a filament to glow with intensity, produce light. A filament that's red hot is like a coal in halacha, and that's esh. But let's say you turn on a motor, let's say you turn on your refrigerator, you turn on your car engine, you turn on almost any electrical device that does not produce light, that would not be a melacha of esh. So what is it? Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach said that if he lived at the time of the Beis Yitzchak and he would have been on the Beis Din to decide these questions, he would say it's mutar lechatchila. He would say, no, he didn't. He didn't say, he said, theoretically. He says, if I was on the Beis Din, what are you doing? What is so terrible if turning on a switch, allowing the electrons to go in a circle? What do you have in a motor? You have a motor. What is a motor? Most electrical devices that we have today pretty much are just motors. Various
motors are magnetic.
And when it spins, you produce energy, and the energy you use, you channel the energy to you manipulate it to gain, have an advantage. Whatever it is.
A car, you're really starting a fire. The ignition of the car is really a fire.
the ignition of the car. So that might, if that is true, I don't know. I don't know how these things work.
Yeah,
it's a spark plug. Okay, because okay, this that's different. You're right. I take it back then. I take that back then. Even today, in the new modern high tech cars, I'm not so sure today. Everything today is very. But traditionally, in your father's Honda or Ford, okay, your old Chevy, okay, in a Hanami. But that's only when you turn on the car. So let's say a guy turns on the car for you, and now you're just pushing the gas pedal. He's pushing the gas pedal. Is that really malacha? Okay, so yeah, a gasoline engine may be different. I take it back. I don't know. Okay, electric cars solve a lot of problems then. Okay, today we have electric cars. Tesla. Why do you think Tesla is doing so well? I just read yesterday their stock is soaring into the sky. Tesla. Why are they doing so well? Because it's Ochel Shabbos. All the people who use the car are not having Mechal Shabbos.
They have the Shabbos wheelchair.
Well, that's a whole different story. The Shabbos wheelchair is a whole different story. That's Tzomot, right? Is that what it's called? Yeah. Tzomot Institute. Yeah. That's another issue. It's not, we're not getting there. That's a grama. It's a whole different story. Mm-hmm. But let's go back to electricity. Electricity, the movement of electrons, if it's not causing something to become red hot. If there's no real fire, which is the case in most electrical devices, most gadgets, your computer, there's no fire in your computer. You sure don't know, oh, sure hope not. There's no fire in your computer. You're just electrons are flowing through the wires and somehow it's powering everything up. Nothing is getting red hot. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said in those gadgets, it was up to him, he held that there's nothing wrong. And the Beis Yitzchak held that turning on a computer, there were no computers in these days, obviously, is a melacha deraisa. Any movement of electrons is, in his opinion, this is my great-great-grandfather, is a melacha deraisa of ish. That was rejected, and that was. This is a very big topic of people who talk about Rabbanim who don't understand the Metzius. They use this as a topic of discussion, that you have to know the Metzius before you can pass on a new modern day invention. I don't think it's not a kasha. I don't think it's a good example because electricity, he knew what he was talking about. He held a chiddush. He held that movement of electrons indeed is a form of fire. I don't think that's a good case study to use to illustrate that a Rav should not paskin on a new gadget, a new invention, if he does not understand fully the science behind the gadgets. Today, you know, hotels, it's the biggest problem today. Hotels, what do you do? There's a place in Stanford. It's like one of the only hotels every day. I went there for a Shabbaton, and they told me every single Shabbos, b'li yoytze min haklal, the hotel is booked by an organization for a Shabbaton because it's one of the only nice. It's not a Hilton, you know. It's not the Waldorf, but it's not Motel Six. Okay, it's not a schlumpy place either. It's not a schlumpy place. It's a very, very, very nice, many of you have been there. It's a very nice, beautiful place, just right. Not overdone, not too crazy. But it's not a cheap place. There are no mice running around there. It's a nice, nice big place. It's one of the only places in the tri-state area that is 100% Shabbos compliant. There are no gadgets, no sensors. Everything is old-fashioned. It's a gorgeous place. Yeah. And that's why the Aguda makes the convention there. That's why every single Shabbos, the place is booked. You go to another hotel, so you got to pay a fortune of money to work out all of the problems, all of the sensors, all of how do you open the doors? It's a nightmare, and every day it's getting worse and worse. Refrigerators are a nightmare. Even the cheapest refrigerator today has many, many sensors. And we rely today on the biggest leniencies that Halach has ever come up with to operate a refrigerator on Shabbos. We really do. It's a very, very big problem. It's first being addressed now. It seems like in Eretz Yisrael, they're way ahead of us. They've already worked out a lot of the issues. But in America, just being ignored, more or less. And the problems are just getting worse and worse because we live in a high-tech world of artificial intelligence. And you know, wherever you move, you're being observed, and the machines are following you, and they're acting on your command. Is that in a violation of halacha? So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he was very happy with all this. To him, none of this is an issue as long as there is no fire. The Chazon Ish, he says a chiddush. He says that it's makeh bepatish. When you complete a circuit, you're doing a melacha de oiraisa, because binyan is construction. Chazon Ish, construction. Turning on any electrical device, in the opinion of the Chazon Ish, is a melacha de oiraisa. Guess what? No one accepts that lahalacha. So the Beis Yitzchak, he's out. No one will accept lahalacha. The movement of electrons is fire. No one accepts the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish is the Das Yochid. He's not accepted lahalacha. I'm sorry. With all respect to the Goyin Shebe Goyinim, the Mamish, the Urim V'tumim, but it is not accepted lahalacha. I'm not making this up. Go look at any sefer. It's not accepted lahalacha, the chumrah of the Chazon Ish, by nobody, that it is a melacha deraisa to complete an electric circuit. So what then is a melacha deraisa? An incandescent bulb. Turning it on is a melacha deraisa. Rabbi Belsky held a fluorescent bulb is a melacha deraisa because the filament in the fluorescent bulb also gets hot enough that it's called esh. Today, we're in good luck. We're in good mazel. Fluorescent bulbs and incandescent bulbs are almost non-existent. Only in the 99-cent store. Today, everything is LED, and everything is other type technologies, and the electric companies will force you because they've raised the rates of electricity to charge you. What used to be 100 volts, now they'll charge you the same thing for 20 volts. So if you're going to use a 100-watt incandescent bulb, you're going to be paying through the roof for electricity. So you have no choice to change over everything that you have. Everyone already did. Look at the bulbs. Look at these lights over here. These are LEDs. You turn these on Shabbos. There's no filament. There's no melacha deraisa. So what is it? What is it exactly? No one can really define to you what it's a melacha derabanan. It's a melacha derabanan. What's the melacha derabanan? I'm not exactly sure why today we're not allowed to turn on electricity. We don't do it. Don't get any ideas. It is. I don't know. Not one Marasayan. We don't turn on electrical devices today as a nada de oraisa, as an issa de rabbanan, and that's very good. Because that allows us to be very lenient and ask a guy to do it b'shas atchak. If it's a melacha d'oraisa, tell a guy, you can't tell a guy. You know, amiru la'akum is an issa d'rabanan. But turning on lights today is only midrabanan. So to tell a guy to turn on lights is a shavus to shavus. You're telling a guy to do for you a melacha d'rabanan. Okay? Okay, now how do we get into this whole topic of discussion? Because it says over here, lightning. Lightning is esh. Maybe that was the lumness of the Beis Yitzchak. Lightning is esh. Why is lightning esh? What is lightning? I don't know how to define lightning. I don't know what lightning is.
Electrons
and intensity?
Yeah.
An intensity of electrons.
Positive and negative forces, you know?
You can see it. You can see it. And it's hot. It burns.
Yeah, but it's not fire. The temperature is hot.
The temperature is hot. Is the temperature...
The fact that the temperature is hot...
It could be the heat. The heat is different.
Yeah, so if something... it can incinerate, like a person or whatever.
If a person touches a live wire in the walls, 110 watts, 110 volts, okay, the wires in our walls are 110 volts... So what happens? Everyone, I'm sure, in this room had the unfortunate experience once in their life. I hope not, but maybe probably everyone in this room had the unfortunate experience of touching a live wire. What happens? You get a shock. You right away, you could be like going through your body. Is it hot? I don't think so. I'm not going to try. I don't want to try, but I don't
hold
think.
Hold on long enough for the burn.
You hold on long enough.
Because resistance on your body, resistance.
Resistance causes. That creates heat.
Yeah,
but in and of itself, 110 volts, is that hot? When you, if a person touches it, my electrician, he used to touch it all the time. He comes to the house, he goes, and he touches it. He's like immune to this. He just see if it's live. So he touches it, turns the bulb. You know, that's what he does. That's his paranasa. He's totally immune to it. He's wearing boots, that's what? He's grounded.
Not grounded,
so
the electricity doesn't go
insulated.
I don't know how this works. Don't ask me. Whatever it is, he goes and he touches the wire. I don't know. It doesn't seem, maybe I'm wrong, that 110 volts is hot.
The hot wire is directed to the ground.
The ground, no, there are three wires. There's the return. There's the hot wire, there's the return, the ground. And you know what the problem today is? There's no more return really anymore today. They don't want it. They used to be in the previous generation, they wanted it back. There was a return wire. You know where the return goes? It goes into the ground. It used to be the return went into back to the factory where it came from. Today a lot of returns don't go anywhere. They go into the ground, and that's not good. They say that's causing a lot of issues for people. A lot of issues. It's very the radiation that we even put it into the ground in areas of where people live, it's not necessarily a good thing where the return wire is going to. A lot of stuff going on with electricity today that is very, very frightening. Okay, electricity today is something called dirty electricity. You see, the wires were made for 120, used to be an electric bulb. Whatever you give the electric bulb, it takes. It's delicious. When you put this wire into electricity, there's a transformer. No, we don't want everything you have to offer. We just want to be toyeim to omeha, just the mashahu of what you have to offer. Otherwise, the electricity company will charge us too much money. So you know what you do? By only taking a small amount and you rejecting the remainder, you cause friction. And that friction radiates. And that radiation is not healthy. It's not healthy, it's dangerous, in fact. And there's a lot of things you don't know what's going on. Someone came in shul, I was in shul, with all the equipment, the electrical equipment, and he did some readings, and it was frightening. The readings were way, way over the acceptable levels of radiation. And why was that so? Because they hired the electrician who put it in, was not a licensed, was a shema, was a handyman, and he did whatever he wanted. He didn't know what world he was doing. The lights work, right? The lights work. But the way he wired it was so shemazeldik is that he basically was poisoning the people in the shul. So you'll say, I feel fine. I don't feel anything. All right, I hope so. I hope this type of stuff is not causing us any harm. But the guy who came in with the meters and all this fancy equipment, he says this is way above what is acceptable. Acceptable to certain radiation, it's because each light bulb rejects. And when it rejects, it causes friction, and that friction radiates, and that radiation has to be dealt with in a responsible way. You never had this issue years ago, because years ago there was no rejection. You put a light bulb into the wire, the light bulb takes it all. Give me all you got. There was no radiation. Today, there's no such thing as a regular light bulb or anything. Every single thing that you have in your possession has a transformer which is rejecting. And when it's rejecting, the whole system is filled with this thing called radiation, dirty electricity. And it's not so simple. You need a licensed electrician to do it right, to make sure. You know, no one knows. Hopefully it doesn't make a difference. But no one wants to take any chances. Especially not around children that are much more sensitive. Their bones are not as thick and don't have the ability to reject all this type of nonsense stuff. Okay, we're going way off topic. Any event, lightning. Lightning. Lightning, what is lightning? Lightning appears to be hot. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. If a person were to touch lightning, he's a goner. But is it hot? I don't know. Is it? Mr. Marillis, is lightning hot?
Should I try?
No, chas v'shalom. So, You see, what I'm saying over here is maybe the Beis Yitzchak is right. The Beis Yitzchak says the flow of electrons is, the flow of electrons is Eish. Nobody today accepts that idea lehalacha. Nobody. But why is that not correct? What is lightning? It says here in the Pasuk, Nitecha ko'esh. Hashem pours out fire. Fire is not tangible. Along comes the Radak, we're discussing lightning. Lightning is called fire in this Pasuk. And when you go lamala lamata, a lightning bolt, that is called pouring. Why is lightning called fire? When the lightning hits the ground, hits a piece of wood, or hits something, yeah, it'll get on fire. But the lightning itself is not fire. The lightning itself
what
is...
What is when you have to base a bed and give you a...
They pour lead. Sreifa means they strangle the person's neck, they put a cloth to force...
Is that the literal translation of it?
It means the neshama is burnt and the body remains intact. Sreifa, misa sreifa, is they would pour down a person's throat molten lead. And the intensity of the heat of the lead is called sreifa. They didn't burn a person at the stake. One of the dalad misas bezin is sreifa. Choke a person, forces their throat to open up, and someone pours down his throat lead. That's called sreifa. So here, okay, so something to think about. Something to think about electricity, about lightning, how all these things work. It's a very big mystery. And at least according to the Radak, he's novel in this idea of what it means to pour down. Now he gives another interpretation, or the other another interpretation, kumay hafuch. Now what do we mean kumay hafuch? We have to turn the words, we have to switch the words around. Chamosai, in other words, take the word chamosai and put it after the words nitcha koesh. Chamosai switch the words koesh nitacha. Kiloimar, chamosai, Hashem's anger. She koesh. The word esh is coming to modify chamosai. Nitcha al oivav. So what is being poured upon the enemy? Hashem's anger. Again, the question here is, the word nitcha sticks out like a sore thumb. What does nitcha means to pour? You don't pour fire. You don't pour anger. What's going on here? So either you're gonna have to be creative and say, no, in this case you are pouring fire or you are pouring anger. Until now, we've been struggling to explain what it means that you're pouring fire. Lightning or melts, the fire comes down, it melts, it liquefies a solid, and then the liquid is poured. Now he says another pshat. Whoever told you the word nitcha is going on fire. Nitcha is going on anger. Hashem is angry, and Hashem pours out his anger. Obviously, that's a metaphor. That's not to be taken literally. And the word esh means hash, is defining Hashem's chema. Hashem's anger is compared to fire. It's hot, whatever that means. I don't know what that means. But it's just shifting the word fire to chema. And now Hashem pours out that chema upon his enemies. Okay, so that's the next words. V'yatsurim. And the rocks, nititsu mimenu. The rocks are shattered into smithereens from Hashem. Kimashmo'oi. Oyhu derech mashal kumoshe pirashnu. The rocks are shattered, even means literally, when the lightning comes down into this world, when lightning comes down, it shatters whatever it comes in contact with, or it means Hashem's anger. It's not to be taken literally. Hashem, he shatters the arrogant, the haughty, in the people who are his enemies. Let's look at the Malam, start the Malam list a little bit. Malam Pasukei, on page 543, the Malam Harim. Hamadrega Hashnia, okay, the second level. A sigia bedarkoi al roshe hahorim horamim shasu karv el haaretz uvaze yitzayer hamashchis hashlishi. Sheyetze lepolov hu yisoyte afar. Now remember, we learned back in the previous Malbum, the Malbum says that Hashem over here is going to bring Chorbin with the five yisoydos. What are the five yisoydos? The five elements. There are five or four. Always.
What
Four elements. The four elements. There are four elements. Fire. What are the four elements? Earth, air,
wind,
and water. So we've already discussed. Earth, wind, and fire. Earth,
wind,
fire, and water. Earth, wind, fire, and water. So we've already discussed two of them, and now with this, we already discussed wind. Pasuk, the previous psukim of Bisufa Uvisara Darkai was wind. Okay, we have to go. We're going to go with, according to the Malmud's understanding, Hashem over here is coming to destroy the world, to punish the enemies with the four elements. We've already discussed wind. Now we're going to discuss number two, fire. Hamadrega Hashnia. Ace, Shegia Bedarkai al Rashe Hahadim Hadimim, Shasu Kav el Haaretz, Uvze Yitzayah Hamashchis. Let's read the words. Hamashchis Hashlish, the third. Sheyetzel lefalav who yisoid ha'afar earth, sheba amda yal rashi ha'hadim. When Hashem stands on the top of the mountains, az yirashu mimenu. We're discussing here earth. They tremble. V'gam agvayis hilshim lamatim and hadim, which are lower. His moigugu, they're going to melt. And it's in the lemash az yirash yisoid ha'afar. V'yisave rash ha'aretz. The earth is going to shake. Earth is not going to be solid. It's not going to be stable. We have Yishuv Hadas, because we know the earth is not moving. The earth is solid, rock solid. Mm-hmm. But when the earth beneath our feet begins to shake, begins to melt, is not stable, then we know we're in trouble. We know we're in a lot of trouble. V'yishave rash, are your earthquakes. V'yashil b'harim, we start with the mountains, which is the highest elevation. Shabohem matzui harash l'roiv. That's where you find more often shaking. You find instability in mountains. The achar kach yispashet, then the instability in the earth spreads to the hills. El hagvois, umoisiv kisisa haaretz mipanov. The earth itself, the ground. Notice the Malbim is not translating the word kisis haaretz to mean fire. The earth is burning. We're describing the earth itself. It's moving, it's lifting up and down. There's a hurricane taking place. The earth is rising up to greet the melech. Mankind is shaking. Yamlitz, this is a metaphor. The whole earth. The pillars of the earth are shaking. Futsiur, it is a description. Churban kolali, a general, all-encompassing churban. Al yidei rash yisoid ha'afar, through the earth. So what have we done over here? It's an incredible reason over here in this pasuk. Hey, is the third yisoid earth. So let's go back. In pasuk gimel, we described wind. In pasuk dalid, we described water. Okay, water, the four elements, wind, water, fire, and earth. So in Pasuk Gimel, Hashem Erech Apayim Gudol Koyach, V'nake Lo Yinake, Hashem Bisufa Uvisara Darkoi, wind, the Anan, clouds come from wind, Avak Raglav, Pasuk Dalet, water, Goyer Bayom Vayibashayu. There's no more water anymore. V'chol hanohara is hecheriv. Umlal boshen v'chaimel perech levon umlal. Pasuk hey, earth is being destroyed. The mountains are no longer stable. The hills are no longer stable. The earth. Hanim ro'ashim emenu havag voice hismoigagu. They're melting. V'atis aretz b'miponav. The earth is shaking. It's rising up. V'sevel v'yoshreva. The whole world. The whole world is shaking. The whole world is in movement. So already three elements are no longer stable. No longer can we rely upon wind. No longer can we rely upon water. And no longer can we rely upon earth. Pasuk avav. Lifnei hamadrega shekvar bo hashayfet el aretz v'dona esam al pi maaseim v'shayfet alem Hashem is judging them v'zam v'tzara uvazeh yitzar hamashkes harvi sheitz lachiv l'hashkes chshu yitzar ha'esh. And now, pasuk Vav describes the last of the four elements, fire. Eish v'yesh hevdol bein af u'bein chema u'bein, the next page, bein zam ha'chema hi ha'kas ha'pnimi. Very quickly, the chema is the inner anger. Ha'atzu b'leiv the eis yiskale ha'kas l'chutz nikraf. And when chema means it's built up inside. And when that comes out, that's called af. That's when the einish has been decreed. And the klal itself is called zam. Also, three things. So let's review. There are three terms. Three beautiful to this is a typical Malbim. The Malbim is the authority on synonyms. If someone would write a thesaurus, there's only one person that would be the candidate to write. He wrote, called HaKarmel. He wrote a thesaurus called HaKarmel. We took all of the synonyms in Tanakh, and he wrote a thesaurus. And everything was basically drawn from his perush that he wrote on Tanakh. And here he gives you three words and tells you the difference. Zam, Chema, and Af. Zam is the gezera on paper. On paper, it says the world is coming to an end. It's going to be obliterated. That's called zam. Chema means the inner anger, the emotion, the anger that's inside. Af is where Hashem lets it out, is where it materializes. It actually comes to fruition. It comes into existence. Okay, three words. Zam, Chema, Af. Zam is the big picture, the plan, the punishment, the gzera, this world will be destroyed. Zam and Af is the emotion. The Zachema, the Chema of Af, Chema is its inside, and the Af is when it comes outside. And we'll finish off, Nidcha Ke'esh, Mitzaya Chema Ke'esh Boyer, we describe Esh like fire, Ha'atzur Bahare, Bahare, Ad, mindful mountains, Vatoichal, and it destroys Atochim Rabba. The fire is so intense, it rips through the entire world. She'es Yutach Esh Ayde Chelke Gofris, when fire is poured out through sulfur. The Yeser Devodim Ishiyim, Hanimtzeim Bima'amake Ho'adama, and other elements that are found in the depths of the earth. The aretz takicho atzamim asher bebitna, and the earth spits out the atzamim, its etzem, its bones, so to speak, that are in its belly. She'os chamos nitcha ko'esh, his anger pours out like fire. Hanizrak meharim moirikim, esh, mountains, they pour out fire. She'advarim hamutzakim nitochim, things that pour out go from above to below. Oz ad shegam atzurim hechazokim nitetsu mimenu. Even the mighty mountains are going to be smashed to smithereens. V'yalu ka'avak parech l'hachriv l'hashmid es kol ha'sivivosam. Okay, so he does seem to say that fire indeed is poured. How is fire poured? He says, through sulfur. He says, the pouring of fire, it sounds like lava. What is sulfur? Gofris. The Malbim is also struggling with the meaning of fire being poured. Okay. And he explains it to me, not the fire itself, different elements. I don't know what this means. I'm not, I don't know.
Lava or something like
lava. Lava, that's what it sounds like. Lava. The lava.
Volcano.
Gofritz. What's sulfur? What is sulfur?
It's a metal.
So burning hot metal that's coming out of the ground, that's not lava. Is that lava? That's not lava. That's something else. Something else. This sulfur that's coming out of the ground, that's a davar mamoshi.
Hot springs, I think there's sulfur involved.
Sulfur is a gas.
A gas?
It's a gas. No, it's not a gas. Sulfur is a metal. Very soft metal.
So it seems like there has to be something tangible for you to use the word nitach. And the Malbim is struggling with this. So what is being nitach? You can't say fire. Fire is not tangible. Lava is one example. He means that. He writes that. But there's also other types of metals, other types of elements that are deep down in the ground that come spewing out of the earth due to fire. that we consider it to be the fulfillment of pouring. But what's the main yesod of this pasuk vav? It's the fourth element, fire. So this is a very beautiful interpretation of the Malbim we have over here. The four elements are not going to be stable. They're going to all participate in Chorban. Wind, water, earth, and fire. Each one gets its own pasuk, gets its own pasuk, and they're all going to contribute to the destruction of the world. He also taught us the difference between the three words zam, chema, and af. He also gives us an interpretation of what it means that the fire will be poured out. The fire, the intense heat, will bring forth liquid. Liquid. What's the liquid? Either lava or this thing called gopherus, which whatever it is. I don't know what it is. Sulfur, gopherus, vomelach, salt, sreifa, cholarza. There are elements deep down in the ground that will spew forth due to the intensity of heat, and that's what it means. It's being nitach arza. Okay, tomorrow we'll continue with the Likutei Shas.
Today is the yahrzeit of the Ram, the yahrzeit of Blaze of Silver, and the yahrzeit of Sholem Goldenberg from Saga.
Thank you. Blaze of Silver was the architect of Torah in America, and he doesn't get the credit for it.
Yeah. Blaze Silva. The national parks you have, the Old Faithful, you have all the things, the hot elements that burn sound, and they have these things that are not destructive, but it could be if you get, you know.